Praise and thanks be to the Lord. If it were up to my physical condition, I would actually have to stay seated. It's a bit more strenuous to stand up here than to sit there. And yet, we are grateful to God. I hope that we all are, and that from the depths of our hearts, for the great privilege that He has revealed His Word to us and also keeps us in it. Brother Rus has already thanked for the tuning of the grand piano, and I must confess that I love listening to music, but whether it is always tuned or not is not for me to judge. I just like listening to music. And when our young brother came round today and said in horror, "That's impossible, you can't even listen to that," I thought to myself, you see, there's the ear of the expert. Everyone else only hears music, and he doesn't hear music, he hears the wrong sounds. And then he says, "This needs tuning." I first had to look to realize that this was necessary. I want to build a bridge to being in tune with the Word of God. There are so many in the audience who hear and think, "Huh, that's all God's Word. The keys are tapped nicely. This and that scripture is also touched a little with a 10-finger system." And people don't even realize that there is no harmony, no agreement at all. But the expert has heard here and heard there and says, "Oh, that doesn't work. You can't listen to that. It needs to be tuned here." Who wants to be tuned by the Lord like that? All of us, with all our heart. And who wants to be able to hear the wrong notes? Yes, don't you? Now you are all suddenly musical. But you have to be a bit lively from time to time. If you are not, or don't become that, then you will perish. By the grace of God, we don't just want to belong to those who simply say, "Music is music and preaching is preaching." We want to be, as Brother Branham says in the one sermon, in the spirit of the composer, in the spirit of the one who gave the word, and agree with him to be in the whole symphony of God, to be absorbed in it, without cacophony and discordant notes to be heard. Who would want to experience that at the end of time, everything will really be in divine harmony? And we have already read it as a promise in the prophet Isaiah, that the Lord God basically works out everything in heaven and on earth. And His arm is stretched out over the nations, and who shall turn it back? The right hand of the Lord is exalted, and His right hand upholds the victory. Even the devil will have to bow to everything. And in the end, he too will be seized and thrown into the lake of fire. And then we will hear and see nothing more of him. That will be a beautiful day too. We sometimes wonder why God allows all things. I think I said it here on Wednesday evening, that God has strange ways with his people. He allowed Abel to be killed and had a mark put on Cain that no one was allowed to kill him. Imagine that. If we had had to decide, we would have said, my dear friend, that's it, now it's over with you. And God has completely different ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? None of us has been asked, and none of us will be asked. But we ask for God because God has asked for us, and we speak to God because he has spoken to us, and we are very grateful that in these days we can have the connection, the clear and true connection to God, and that we can be harmonized with the Word, as I said before, be divinely attuned. May this be a gift to us all. I would just like to briefly read a few things from the Holy Scriptures, and then also a few quotes from the book, The Seven Seals, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 38. I read from verse 15. What shall I say? He has both spoken unto me and himself has done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. And then, verse 19, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Perhaps up to here, this word. God has made promises. He has fulfilled many of them, and he will fulfill the rest. We can rely on God 100%. We must not run ahead of him, but we must not lag behind either. But if he gives us grace, we want to walk in step with his word and his spirit in accordance with the Old and New Testament, with our God, until we come from believing unto seeing. We know that the end time message is God's revealed word. We have said it often enough. Every sermon has come from the Word of God and leads us back into the Word of God. God is the God of his Word. Through the Word, all that he has created has come into being. Without his Word, nothing can come into being. Even to Christ, all prophecies were given in advance, and every word of God, insofar as it has come from the mouth of God, belongs to the overall plan and program of God. Not one of these words can ever lapse or fail to materialize. Everything will be fulfilled just as God has said. Our faith is anchored in this. Here it says, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. I think that this afternoon we will all give thanks to the Lord, really give thanks from the bottom of our hearts, and praying together has a great advantage, namely that everyone can join in the prayer and thank the Lord, even those who would otherwise have difficulty opening their mouths individually to thank God. After all, millions of people and billions of angels or cherubim and hosts can serve and pay homage to the Lord. He has everything under control at a glance. God is highly exalted. We don't need to wait for each other to thank Him in single file. We can raise our voices in one accord and offer the Lord our grateful thanks. I wanted to read a few more scriptures because God's word is just so precious that you could talk about it day and night and delve yourself in it. In Isaiah 25, from verse 7 it says, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. For the Lord has spoken it. Here is the promise. He will swallow up death in victory. He will wipe away tears from off all faces. Let us read to this the word from the book of Revelation, chapter 21. It says, from verse 3, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. Here in the Old Testament, God spoke it through the prophet Isaiah. And it says so wonderfully, for the Lord has promised. In the New Testament, we read the fulfillment of what was announced in the Old Testament. Yes, God Himself will be among them and will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And death will be no more. Beloved, how grateful we will be and how happy when nothing, not even a trace, will be left of all that has come upon mankind through the fall into sin. Nothing of sin, nothing of sickness, no death, no suffering, no crying, no distress, no burial, no graveyard, no sorrow, none of this will be anymore. Then the mouth will be full of laughter and the tongue full of glory. This is not a story. This is divine reality that you and I will share in by the grace of our God. For He has promised, and what He has promised, He will certainly keep. What He has set out to do, He carries out. Then the other passage, here in the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 49, just to show you the parallel with Revelation 7. Here it says in Isaiah 49, Isaiah 49, from verse 10, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that has mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. If we then turn to Revelation 7, almost the same words are written, that they will no longer be struck by the heat of the sun, and that they will no longer hunger or thirst. We already mentioned it last night, Revelation 7, verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Listen now, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Isn't that something marvelous? Our God is rich in mercy, rich in grace towards those who avail themselves of His mercy, who come to Him, who need His help. There are people who do not need God's help, but the Lord helps those who come to Him and seek His face. I would just like to read a few quotes very briefly for the sake of those who perhaps are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. It says, "For just as it is written, that no one knows the hour of His coming, so no one will know the mystery of the seven thunders." Have you all heard it? Then what about all those who say they know? Are they telling the truth or are they lying? What? I tell you, the Spirit of Truth is connected to God and His Word. The lying spirit is connected to all those who practice and speak lies. And Satan is the first great liar. And the Holy Scriptures say he is a liar from the beginning. And when he speaks from himself, he speaks a lie. He began this in the Garden of Eden, and he continues to do so with all those who listen to him. I read this again with joy. For just as it is written, that no one knows the hour of his coming, so no one will know the mystery of the seven thunders. Page 349, first paragraph in the Seals Book. When we come together, it is not to be brought into agreement with a man or with his teaching and knowledge, but to be brought into agreement with God under the sound of his precious and holy word. For to this end were we ordained, that his word might bring us into agreement with him. Blessed is he who can say yes and amen to his word. And he who does not do this from the heart is half-hearted and thus opens himself up to many things that will then one day emerge. It is high time to believe and take seriously what Brother Branham said. He literally said, the womb of the heart, when it has received the seed of the word, then it closes, so that this seed can no longer be crossbreed and no longer be mixed, but remains divine original seed. And God's word is the original seed of God. And all who are born of God have the right to hear God's word. And it is also written, he that is of God heareth God's words. Here it says on page 341, I just know that those seven thunders holds that mystery. The heavens was quiet. It may be the hour now that this great person that we are expecting to rise on the scene may arise on the scene. Maybe this ministry that I have tried to take people back to the Word has laid a foundation. What was the ministry for? To bring people back to the Word of God. All prophets were sent by God to bring the people of God back to God. And if it has, I'll be leaving you for good. There won't be two of us here the same time. If it is, he will increase and I will decrease. I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was. Now that is the truth. He saw things, and he saw them in visions, like John on the Isle of Patmos. But we will be allowed to witness what prophets have seen in visions by the grace of God. For now is the end of all things. What God has planned to do, he will do shortly, because time is running out. There is no doubt about that. One of the great American diplomats said a few weeks ago, "We are the first generation to know that we are the last." A man, an unbelieving man, who said, "We are the first generation to know that we are the last." God can direct even unbelievers like rivers of water. I told you here on Wednesday evening, when I was staying at the airport hotel in Zurich, in room 409, a picture of the Rolls-Royce engine was hanging at the wall. And do you know what was written on it? Last days. In 1918, whoever may have made this design, whatever engineer may have stood or sat there at a drawing board, beautifully written Rolls-Royce, bears little resemblance to a modern-day car or aeroplane. But in 1918, and across the whole picture, in block letters, last days, even the unbelievers have an inkling, an inspiration, that the last days, the last times have dawned. But by the grace of God, we are allowed to belong to those who not only say, "We are the first generation to know that we are the last," but we may be the generation that is allowed to experience the visitation of God for the last time in the time of grace. And that is the greatest privilege of all time. Brother Branham says at one point, "If the Lord had asked me before the beginning of time, when would you like to serve me? In what generation would you like to live?" He answered spontaneously, "Lord, I want to live and serve you in this generation now." On the one hand, an evil time, a time like never before. On the other hand, a glorious time, a marvelous time of divine revelation of His Word and His will. As never before, everything coincides. But we must allow God to tune us in. Not according to the motto "homemade," but it must be right. A master's hand must be at work. And there is only one who is master, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And He walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, not because He has too much time, but because the time has come to say to the churches, through the revealed Word and through the Spirit, what needs to be said. Blessed is the man who recognizes the goodness of God in these days, but also the cunning of the enemy, who always wants to draw people away from the Word. And he has interpretations that all sound much better. There is always a certain seriousness in the word, but in the interpretation, everything is rounded off. Oh, it slips down like a tidbit. But in the stomach, you will feel quite different. God wants us to listen only to Him. That was already said at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Hear ye Him. And we are convinced, if we have the revealed word balanced with the written word, Old and New Testament, that the Spirit of God will guide us into all truth and keep us in it until the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is a bright church that, like Mary, will be undefiled at the end. In her will be the word of truth, and God will place the word of promise in her and bring it to fulfillment through her, just as it happened then. Yes, finally someone who says Amen. I almost thought we had all been preached to death, but there still seems to be life among us. You can say a mighty hallelujah to that. For our God has spoken, and His word is alive. And what did Isaiah say? It is not the dead who praise you, but the living. So, he who has received life from God cannot but praise the name of the Lord. And as we have often said, if we do not do it, in whom God has done great things, who will? Today, we want to thank Him with all our heart and soul. Today, we want to be tuned and say, Lord, You are the Master. Take me, tune me, tune all strings of my heart. Let every note of Your word resound in me as You want it to. Complete agreement with God and His word. Divine harmony among the bride. Divine harmony with the bride and the bridegroom. For it is the same Spirit and the same word that we have. The same seed of the word. The same prophetic utterances. The same mouth that God used to prophesy of Christ the Savior. It was the same mouth that spoke, the same Isaiah, the same prophets, the same David who cried out, My God, why have You forsaken me? It was him through whom God spoke many things. So the same God, the same word, the same Spirit. And so the Redeemer and the redeemed belong together. Do we understand that? Redeemer and redeemed belong together. He, the firstborn among many brethren, therefore he could say, I ascend to my God and to your God, to my Father and to your Father. We have been born again of the same divine word seed unto a living hope. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Then we will be like him. Whether we can grasp it or not, we can all believe it. Is it true? Because the Lord has said it in his word. May all the thoughts that we have considered this weekend from the Word of God have fallen deep into our hearts, that we may keep his word, as David said, lest I sin against you. If we keep the Word of God as divine seed within us, we cannot fall into unbelief. No, unbelief does not come from hearing. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And through this faith that comes from the Word of God, unbelief is destroyed. And then we do, as Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak. And because we believe, therefore we pray. Because we believe, that's why we sing. It all happens on the basis of faith. Just as Abraham believed what the Lord God told him, so the seed of Abraham believes what God told him. Abraham could not change anything about himself, but the word of the divine promise that he kept in his soul was even able to transform his body and make it young again. It is the same with us. Don't worry about how the transformation of the body is to take place. Just take in the word of the divine promise and let the Holy Spirit make this word come alive and become a force within you. And God will take care of the rest. Not us. He has taken care of everything. Isn't that marvelous? The gospel is still the gospel. Good news to all those who believe it. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Come now, and we will offer worship to the Lord together here in the front. Let us all close our eyes, but open our hearts and mouths and offer heartfelt thanksgiving to the Lord in his presence. We all want to do it. The presence of God is among us. He has spoken to us in his holiness. He is the great master. He wants to tune, until everything agrees with him and his word. And that is why we want to ask him now. But not only that, We also want to thank Him because we believe that He will do it. Today we want to thank the Lord for what He has spoken, for bringing together and harmonizing all the scriptures, the revealed and the written word, for the divine harmony. Today, God wants thanks from you and from me, and we will give Him thanks. If any brothers feel led to give thanks aloud, do so briefly, and we will all pray along. Do we all believe it? Wholeheartedly, without any compromise. We have often said it. We can trust God. We can believe Him. What He has said, He will certainly keep. What He has planned, He will fulfill. Dear sister, believe it too. Yes, you know who I mean. It's there for all of us. What do we wish? That God's fire was already burning. That's what the Lord wants. But He also needs coal. Yes, they have to be there too. Praise and thanks be to our Lord. Don't you realize that these are hours in which God tunes us in? And God uses earthly circumstances to bring us to thoughts that are precious to us, that are valuable to us. It is important that we take God's word seriously in every hour. It will pay off. It will be worth it. Many have heard the word of the Lord in recent years, but it has not become a revelation to them. The time has come. God now wants to do a very serious thing with those whom the Lord will take home. He must be able to rely on us. He must know that we believe Him completely from beginning to end. Whether we understand it or not, His word is holy. Yes, and the church must be one. And we have said it. The tuning starts in everyone personally. And then we also agree with each other. In the prophet Isaiah it says, "The key is on His shoulder, and His dominion will have no end and will reach far." He has the key, and it is in the Word. If He then opens, no one can shut, and everything is tuned, and then it is right. How wonderful that we can recognize this. The written Word, the revealed Word, prophets, apostles, Old and New Testament, everything agrees. This was not done by man. It was done by God. And we are here to let God work. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Beloved, it must seize us anew in our souls. His word must become great to us anew, and His grace. And then even more will happen. With His help, we have taken the right path. And as the Lord told Brother Branham back then, "You made the right choice. It was My choice, and it was My way." Those who are destined by God can only make the right choice and choose Him because they have been chosen by Him. It's as simple as that. Can we believe it? We could not have chosen Him if He had not chosen us. The one belongs to the other. Thanks be to Him, our God. His presence is here. He has spoken to us. And in His presence, we can weep and laugh. We can pray and rejoice. Everyone feels free. Do you all feel free? Everyone, really everyone, should feel free. If you want to cry, cry. If you want to laugh, laugh. We are all before God. If one person is in pain, he cannot laugh. If another is in joy, he cannot weep. But God knows the one and the other, and he understands us all, and we also understand one another. If one gets loud, we all understand. If someone remains quiet, we also understand. We understand because God understands us. How gracious he is, how faithful. Praise be to his wonderful and holy name. Sometimes I feel unworthy, especially when I think that many have to save up the money and travel a long way to hear the word of God. Oh, then I say to the Lord, my God, let me preach your word, if only for the sake of these people. I want to tell you one thing. The time is coming when some will want to travel. They will travel from coast to coast in search of the word of God, and it will no longer be there. The time will be over, and then they will come. Today we are traveling, today we are coming. The day is coming when the others will come, and then it will be too late. Don't feel sorry for anything. Everything that was sacrificed for God was worth it. We have spent so much on other things that have brought nothing. We should not be sorry for what belongs to the kingdom of God. On the contrary, we want to be more grateful to God that we have this opportunity. Oh, how precious his word should become to us. Brothers and sisters, there were hundreds of evangelists in America, millions of believers, when Brother Branham was still alive. And they all passed by the word of God. Each one was going his own way and had his own program. And God has given us grace as the most wretched, as the most miserable. As it is written, the wretched will hear and rejoice. Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. Praise and thanks, we may rejoice, even if the joy is not yet complete. Yes, it is yet to come. Praise and thanks. Yes, many are yet to come. I believe it. The Lord will not fail to answer us. And God has protected us from judging or condemning. Never. When we mention something, it is with such pain in our souls. Hardly anyone can understand that. He will make all things well. Praise be to his glorious name. Brother Rus will pray with us. Faithful God, we thank you in this moment and in this hour. Of a truth, you are not far. You are a God who is near. Therefore we praise you and we worship you as your people, as the sheep of your hand, as those whom you have called in these days. We have heard your call. We do not know how to proceed, Lord, but you know the way. And we will not go, Lord, unless you go first, Lord. Praise be to you, Lord. Praise be to your name. O faithful God, what shall we say to you? We only ask you to stay with us. We want to stay with you as long as we are still here. We do not know the time and hour, as we have heard, when you will take your people. But Lord, we know it is near at the door. And we all want to be there, young and old, our families, our children, our loved ones. We lay everything before you, Lord. You are able to save. You are able to make all things well. You are able to make all ready for your coming, Lord. Lord, perhaps we see that many things are not yet as they should be, but in your eyes everything may look different. Faithful God, you see us. You have redeemed us. You have purchased us. You have made us free. And so we praise you and worship you. And we pray, be with us as we part. Bless our dear brothers and sisters on their way home. You have blessed us together. We had fellowship with one another and with you, Lord. And we want to continue to have it until we are with you. We will be together with you and with many saints who have already gone before us. Glory be to your name. Hallelujah. Amen.